Dad, I have a question. What is free speech and what are some limitations of it? Hey everybody, I'm Luke.
I'm Spencer.
And on today's episode of Dad, I have a question, we're going to be talking about free speech. First off, though.
So a couple housekeeping items. First of all, hopefully the sound quality is better.
Because we are using a microphone speaker and headphones.
We bought a super cool podcasting situation
here. Yeah, and any kind of if you hear my foot going onto the floor or something some super quiet like that, but now it's super loud. That's why.
We used to just record our podcast in my iPhone.
Okay.
But now we have a microphone.
It's cool.
Okay. In other housekeeping news, we've decided to do.
Oh, but hold on. Do your thing first and then I'll do my thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
summer project.
Yeah. Okay. I'll say both. First off, we haven't recorded in a while, almost a month, and we are sorry about that. But we do have some exciting news, which is that we are going to be recording a lot less over the summer, maybe only a few episodes here and there, because we've decided to make a Dad, I Have a Question book.
We're going to try. So
we're working on it.
Yeah. Well, I hope nobody now goes and tries to do this. Maybe we shouldn't have announced that. Please, if listeners, don't run out
don't
and
do
that.
This. Don't do that.
Anyway, we're going to try to turn this into a book and self-publish it. So that's the summer project. Okay, so limitations on free speech. Let's see. Do you know what the Constitution is, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like the law book of the country for people who don't know.
Pretty much. Okay, and the Constitution was passed in, do you know what year it was passed in?
Founding of our country. So 1787-ish.
Exactly. So maybe 10, 11 years after the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, we learned about this recently.
Okay. 4 years after the Constitution was written was something called the Bill of Rights. And so the Bill of Rights was passed in, I think it was 1791. And the Bill of Rights is the first 10 amendments or changes to the Constitution.
So the Constitution is the rule book for the country, and the Bill of Rights is the rule book for the people of the country. But not really a rule book. It's more here are some rights that you have that nobody can take away from you.
Yes. And specifically, the Bill of Rights was a set of basically concessions by in order to sort of work out the compromise of passing the Constitution. Okay. And so what they were,
because the people didn't like the limitations of the Constitution on them, because they had just gotten over having a king ruling over them. So they didn't exactly like the idea of being bossed around.
Yeah. So
the Bill of Rights was kind of the compromise.
Exactly. So the big question with the Constitution was how much power should the government have versus the states versus the people.
And that was Federalists versus Anti-Federalists.
Exactly. So the Anti-Federalists weren't so happy with how the Constitution ended up because it created a pretty strong central government.
Like Thomas Jefferson.
Yes. And so the Bill of Rights was a set of changes to the Constitution that was sort of a concession to the Anti-Federalists. And they, in particular, the Bill of Rights enumerated certain rights that the citizens have. And the very First Amendment is what
the First Amendment, which people talk a lot about this, and it has a lot of things included. I'm sure that you have memorized list.
I'm going to read to you actually the First Amendment. Okay, it says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. So it means there'll be no official religion of America, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. So basically, Congress will make no law that limits freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble. So allowing people to protest and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So basically, the very First Amendment of the Constitution,
freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of protest, and freedom of the press.
Exactly. Okay. So pretty interesting that the founders of the country thought it was so important to protect free speech and free press and protest.
And honestly, if you think back to the history, this makes total sense to me. I'm thinking about it right now, but one of the reasons they were so mad is they couldn't practice their own religions. They couldn't say what they wanted to say. They had no way to protest laws that were made by the king that they didn't like.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So when they wrote the Constitution in 1787, they were like, oh, this is all good. And then 4 years later, we forgot to specifically mention which rights are protected. And so the very First Amendment, they laid out these rights, which you're exactly right. These were some of the most important ones.
The interesting thing about the amendments is that you can so see how each of them, even if they don't apply to today as much or they don't make sense to a certain group of people today, it would have made sense back then.
Yes, that's right. Now, one thing to note, by the way, is did you notice this amendment starts with Congress shall make no law prohibiting speech, you know, establishing religion, et cetera. But it doesn't specifically say that state governments can't do it. And so something like 50 or 75 years later, basically, there was this concept of incorporation, which basically means that like state law kind of gets incorporated into this. So over time, the courts interpreted this to mean to apply not just to the federal government, but also to state governments.
Nobody can limit free speech.
Exactly.
Except.
Okay. That having been said, there are limitations on speech. And this is what we were talking about the other day, which is what prompted this episode. So before we talk about the limitations, I just want to explain like what, you know, when we say quote unquote speech, what does that really mean? Okay. Cause it doesn't just mean
talking.
It doesn't just mean talking.
Especially in this day and age, we do a lot more online writing.
Exactly. Exactly. So speech can mean expression in any way. It can mean art, it can mean protesting, it can mean receiving information.
Reminds me like freedom of creativity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's very broad. It's not just giving a speech.
It's been interpreted by the courts as open-ended.
And actually, one interesting thing is it's also been interpreted to mean not speech, meaning that like the freedom of silence basically is a form of speech. There was an interesting case. I think we might have talked about this, about Apple unlocking the iPhone. Do you remember if we ever talked about this?
I think I heard something like this.
Do you remember? What was it?
There was a criminal,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And the like FBI or something recovered his iPhone.
Exactly.
And Apple refused to unlock it, even though they have like a
Don't have a backdoor.
Oh, they
okay.
Don't?
So exactly. So if you like type in the passcode 10 times, I think, then it wipes the phone.
That is a choice that you can have on settings.
Okay. So, Apple intentionally did not create the ability for Apple to have a secret way to unlock it. And so the government went to Apple and said, you need to create what they call a backdoor in order to unlock this phone. And Apple said, no, that would be a violation of our employees' freedom of speech, because if they type computer code that changes the code in order to create that backdoor, you're compelling them to speak, even though it's not speaking, it's computer code, sure. And they have a right to not do that. So
I think that, I mean, I understand that, but I also am thinking like, there must be some other right that defends like the government forcing people to do something that you don't need like a... Well, writing computer code is kind of like talking and like...
I don't know. And I don't remember actually how that case worked itself out, to be perfectly
honest.
Seems
kind of nitpicky.
But I do think it's kind of interesting that the concept of freedom of speech also means not speech.
Right.
Okay. So let's talk about limitations on freedom of speech, because even though we have the freedom of speech, we don't have unlimited freedom of speech. So one of the sort of catch-all that people use to describe a limitation on freedom of speech...
We have some notes here, just so you know.
Is they talk about this shouting fire in a crowded theater. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think that means?
Let's see. Shouting fire. Oh, okay. Is it like,
falsely shouting fire?
Yeah. Okay. So is it like falsely spreading or like telling lies that cause like, could cause like scaredness or like even like people hurting each other? They can't be protected by free speech because it's like making people hurt themselves.
Exactly.
Almost.
Exactly. That's perfect. Okay. And that phrase comes from Oliver Wendell Holmes, who was a Supreme Court justice. And he wrote in his decision in 1919, he said,
what was the decision?
It's kind of interesting. The decision was, there was a guy that was passing out pamphlets, saying that the government shouldn't be allowed to have a draft for World War I. So a guy that was against the government. And the Supreme Court ruled that that was not allowed because...
Okay. The spreading of misinformation to cause like paranoia?
Well, no, not really. He was saying like the government needs to be able to draft people. So this guy is running around saying the draft shouldn't be allowed.
Oh.
And that's basically bad for the country. Now, ironically, that got overruled a couple decades later, which makes sense because
shouting fire in a crowded theater.
But exactly, but that stuck. So in his argument, he's like, look, you know, there are plenty of limitations on free speech. For example, we wouldn't allow a person to falsely shout fire in a crowded theater, blah, 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 blah. So even though his verdict actually got overturned a long time later,
the principle stands.
Exactly. So that's one concept. The other concept that, that kind of stands is, inducement of, this is kind of a little bit morbid for a kid, but I think you can handle it. Inducement of suicide. Do you know what suicide is?
Yes.
What is suicide?
Killing yourself.
Killing yourself, right. So what happens if I say to somebody, you should kill yourself, you should kill yourself, you should kill yourself, you should kill yourself? Is that free speech? Am I just exhibiting my free speech? And what if you then go kill yourself? And basically the courts have said that's not cool. That is not protected speech because sort of like fire in a crowded theater, it's causing
people to hurt themselves.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. So then there's another one, which we've definitely talked about in other podcasts, which is when you lie about somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's that called?
Like lie on the stand?
No. Like when you say something untrue about somebody.
I'm not sure.
So slander, when you slander somebody or when libel,
I don't know that.
You didn't know. Okay. So when you slander somebody, that means when you lie about them. And when you libel, L-I-B-E-L, that's when you write something knowingly incorrect about them. So I can't slander. I can't say like, whatever, this person is a bank robber and has stolen money and is a thief and whatever. If I know that's incorrect, even though I have freedom of speech, I can't say that. That's not allowed. Okay. So that's a limitation on freedom of speech. Another big limitation on freedom of speech is basically provoking a fight. Okay. So I'm not allowed to say,
I've heard about this, like fighting words, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
I told you about this.
You did. Time. You did tell me about this fighting words limitation. So, you're not allowed to say, you're not allowed to provoke a fight, basically. Imagine me walking up to someone on the street and calling him a name, calling him a name, calling him a name, calling him a name until it starts like a fight or a riot. Like, mm-hmm. even though I have freedom of speech, I'm not, that's right. Not protected.
And again, that's kind of under the same general principle of shouting fire in a crowded theater.
Exactly, exactly. And then another one which we've talked about is false advertising. So, a company can't say like, my product is the greatest in the world and it will cure all diseases and whatever, if that's not true.
You know, I always continue to ask you about this kind of thing because I'll be eating some kind of like chips or something and it'll be like, or like popcorn, for example. I eat this popcorn a lot and it says like America's favorite popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do that? I don't know. Maybe that's a podcast for another day.
So it's super interesting. We talked about this a little bit.
You always tell me like they have to have some kind of proof of it.
If it is a credible claim, more dentists like this toothpaste than any other, then they have to have evidence for it and cite it.
In fact, on the other side, it could also be, you told me, basically a totally ridiculous claim.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Oreos being milk's favorite cookie.
Exactly. Milk's favorite cookie is an absurd claim. Everybody knows that's kind of a joke. And so they don't need evidence that Oreos are milk's favorite cookie. Right. So that's kind of the distinction. But then I remember I told you about this case with, I think it was British Airways and Virgin Atlantic Airways. Do you remember that one?
Go ahead.
So, and this is based on UK law, not US law. So I don't exactly know how it applies in the US, but in the UK, British Airways had a campaign that said, Britain's most popular Britain's favorite international airline, mm-hmm. Britain's favorite international airline. And Virgin Atlantic sued them and said, no, hold on, that's not true. Like, we have this survey that says that we're their favorite airline.
Ah.
British Airways flies more people internationally. And so British Airways claimed that they are the favorite airline because people are buying more tickets from British Airways. So they meant like based on the number of tickets, not based on the survey. And
moving on.
Okay, that's a false advertising discussion, which is kind of loosely related to freedom of speech.
Anything else, or should I sum up?
I think you can sum up. What are some general categories of limitations on freedom of speech?
Okay, so I'd say that the biggest general limitation on free speech. Okay, first off, let's define free speech for kids. Free speech is any number of ways that you like almost express yourself, I'd say. So you could do that by actually saying it, writing it online, like art, computer code, apparently we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly like you're allowed to express yourself however you want almost, except for some limitations, most of which include telling people or causing people to hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or
others.
Right. If you spark a fight, for example, by your words, you can't do that. If you cause people to get trampled by shouting fire, you can't really do that. So basically, your actions have to be a certain amount of pure to say yeah. them as and, free speech
and truthful. You know, and basically, if something if something is truthful, it's almost always allowed. Like that's the truth is a pretty good defense for freedom of speech.
True.
All right.
That makes sense.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye.